the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com. USA Today NFL Wire site that covers, of course, your Arizona Cardinals episode 603. And with me, as this is one of two preview shows, last week we didn't have an opponent preview show because all the Packers podcasters apparently don't talk to people. But I have a friend of the show, Chargers Wires manager at managing editor Gavino Borges. Gavino, I'm glad to have you back on. Long time. Like, actually, it's only been a couple, 3 months since we were on for the season preview. How you been, man?
I've been good, man. This is my third time on the show, I think. We've talked three times.
I for sure asked you this off the air. Are you going to be at the game? Because those who listen, Gavino's an Arizona guy.
Yeah, most likely. Yeah, most likely I will.
Nice. I won't be there covering the game. I have like Howard Balzer. He's a legend, actually, but he works on the network. And so, but the Cardinals only give us one credential now. They only credential one of us. Well, they only ever credentialed me, but Howard's been credentialed for literally 50 years, but they won't give us more than one for the game. And so being on a Monday night after, like, I don't mind doing it, but having to go from work and drive across town to Glendale.
Oh yeah,
I won't miss it. I won't miss it. I'll watch it on TV. But how are you feeling about this Monday night JV game that we've got?
ESPN Plus special.
The whole Monday night crew, Peyton, the Manning cast, they'll be talking about Ravens Bucks.
Yeah,
and then streaming on ESPN Plus. Cardinals Chargers. Although I will say that the broadcast should be pretty good because you've got Dan Orlovsky and Lewis Rickett. They're fantastic analysts. That will be really cool.
The commentary should be good. No, I'm pretty excited. Again, it's nice having a local game. And like you mentioned, I live in the Valley. So, you know, there's a good chance I'll be able to go to that and cover the game. So I'm looking forward to it. The weather's cooling down here in Arizona. So, you know, sitting in traffic to get to the game, like, won't be as miserable. Yeah. So
we had this after our record. We went 21 straight days in the fall of record high temperatures. We had 115 straight days of 100 degree weather here. It's the greatest, man. It gets hot, but come on. I don't mind it. It's hot because guess what? We don't have hurricanes.
Exactly.
We don't have earthquakes. And ain't everybody ever had to shovel snow sunshine. No. There's no shoveling sunshine, man.
There's no natural no natural disasters over here. I mean, we'll have the occasional haboob. And for those who don't know, the just a big dust storm that, you know,
a really big dust storm.
Wipes through the city. And that's the visibility can be pretty rough at times if you are driving, but that's about it. So
this is not what we came to talk about on this show, though. I enjoy having Gavito on the show, especially since he's a local here. But we want to talk about the Chargers, then the matchup, because the Chargers are 3-2, but they're a good team. They're a good team. They play in a really tough division. Tell me about this team, because I see a team. I mean, well, when we talked in the offseason, we're like, well, they're going to have to run the ball because they got rid of all of Justin Herbert's receivers. But guess what they're doing? They are running the F out of the football and doing it at a fantastic clip.
Yep. And just like we talked about that Greg Roman effect, they were going to run the ball. We all knew that. And it's definitely come to fruition. J.K. Dobbins, he's the leader in the backfield. We were unsure if it was going to be him or Gus Edwards. Gus Edwards is dealing with an injury, and even prior to that, he took a backseat to J.K. Dobbins, who's been healthy, and he's been
I loved J.K. Dobbins kind of in college, and when he got hurt, that was a bummer. That was a big bummer.
And he was one of the low cost additions in free agency. So they added him. You know, he was familiar with Greg Roman's offense, and it's paying dividends. They have a top 10 rushing offense, and you know, that's how they're kind of beating these defenses down, is on the ground. You know, they have a great offensive line. They added Joe Alt in the first round. Having a healthy Rashawn Slater definitely goes a long way too. So Jim Harbaugh, Greg Roman effects, it's definitely showing so far in the season.
That said, they do have a good rushing attack. It's not particularly efficient, though. Only 21st in yards. But like, it's respectable, 4.2 yards a rush, but it is below average. And then look at the offensive production, 26th in points and 28th in yards. Is that a level of concern for this team, or is this just how it is designed, that they potentially could be better offensively, but they're being reined in a little bit, at least early in the season?
So, you know, I've definitely been asked that question, and I can kind of really start to back it up. After this past weekend's game, they played the Broncos, and Justin Herbert had his most efficient game of the season. Again, you know, it's nothing compared to what he did in years prior, but it was definitely a step up from what he did before, throwing the ball over 30 times. And Greg Roman was asked about this during the bye week, like, you know, are you concerned with the offensive production? Like, are you going to throw the ball? Well, he came out firing. He let Justin Herbert throw the ball. He was efficient doing it. And I think he threw to 9 different pass catchers. So, you know, he distributed the wealth. And again, it helped with the offense, you know, all around. And honestly, with the offensive production, it's very good in the first half, but it's struggled in the second half. That's been their problem, is putting points on the scoreboard in the second half. They've struggled to do that. So part of it has to do that they can't score in the second half. That's probably why you're seeing the number so low. But a big part of that was just, you know, they didn't play to Justin Herbert's strengths, and until this past weekend, where it's like, okay, giving us a glimpse of what could be, you know, to come. Is Greg Roman going to actually unleash Justin Herbert? Did they kind of use that bye week to really evaluate, okay, we're running the football well, but we need to be more balanced? So that's kind of where the offense is at right now.
What is happening with the passing game in terms of production? Who are the leaders of the pack in the passing game?
Well, I mean,
look at the numbers aren't great. I mean, McConkey leads the way, 19 catches for 219 yards. That's not exactly wow, but it leads the way. How does he look? How does he look? Because I know that he was a really polarizing guy coming out of the draft, because you look at a guy who's not been particularly productive at the college level, has had some injuries, but has all the tools and the traits, and like even the intangibles, to be successful at this level. Do you think he's got what it takes to do that?
I think he does. And look at last year, you know, even years going back, like, you know, since Herbert got into the league, Keenan Allen was his top target. You know, that was his go-to guy. That's what Ladd McConkey is. He's reliable. He can get open. And Keenan Allen, you know, he could create separation, find like the soft spots in the coverage and catch the ball. And that's what Ladd McConkey's doing. We knew that he was a slick route runner coming out of Georgia. And he's definitely been a safety blanket on third down situations. We haven't really been able to like see his speed so much, but like the route running prowess is there. And obviously the hands too. He has been banged up, and that was an issue coming out of college. It was a concern with his very like thin frame. He's not big by any means, and he's taken some shots. And this past weekend against the Broncos, he went to the sideline like 3 times, including one where he was checked for concussion protocol. He passed it, obviously, and came back on the field. But he's taking more and more hits, and you're starting to see, like, you know, he definitely lacks like that strength. And kind of just like that density to like his body. But Ladd McConkey is like the leader in that room. You know, Joshua Palmer, like who a lot of people thought was really going to step in and become like the number one. He hasn't really done that. Quentin Johnston, first round pick from last year. Greg Roman's using him a lot, like showing his yards after the catch ability, like using him on crossers. So he's been pretty good. He hasn't had that many drop passes. So there was one, I think maybe in week one or two, where he dropped the ball near the sidelines and they're like, okay, is Quentin Johnston still having issues like with his hands? But he's been pretty decent. You know, the stats don't really back that up. But one guy that they're missing in that wide receiver room is DJ Chark. They signed DJ Chark this past offseason. And, you know, if we know DJ Chark, he's a speed guy. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a vertical down the field guy. But he's hasn't played because he was on the injured reserve. He was designated to return. So they open up his practice window. He practiced today. So I don't know if he's going to be available Monday night. But that's very encouraging to know that he's back on the practice field. Because I think that they just don't have that speed element. You know, we talked about McConkey, he's fast, but he's not going to be a burner. That's not going to be his thing, is like, all right, you know, let's just get vertical. So I think defenses know that they don't have a fast guy. And Quentin Johnston, yeah, like, you know, he's also like known for his speed, but he's just more of a yards after the catch guy. You really can't count on him to go down the field and catch a ball because of his hands. So having DJ Chark back might really help the passing offense as well.
Now, DJ Chark is an interesting guy for me because you're like, he should be great. And then he's just kind of okay. Yeah. But I wish the Cardinals would have gotten him. I mean, they got Zay Jones and then Zay, like, it's kind of been the same thing. The Cardinals got Zay Jones and then he was suspended 5 games. So kind of the same thing, kind of the same thing. But let's talk about this defense, which for all the offensive problems they've had, they are number one in points allowed, number six in yards allowed. They are first in least amount of first downs allowed. They are a top five rushing, their top six rushing offense. They're top 10 in rushing yards allowed per attempt. They're top 10 in pass defense. What has made this defense so good?
The guy who's running the show, Jesse Minter. No, I mean, he was the best defensive play caller coming out of college. Last year, he followed Jim Harbaugh to the Chargers. And if anyone knows, like, that Michigan defense was stiff. Like, it was hard to score against them. Like, he got the title of, like, probably the best defensive play caller in college football. He's carried that over to the Chargers, and he's done it with already the pieces in place, like, you know, the Joey Bosa, Khalil Max, Derwin James. But they added pieces like up front, Puna Ford. He's been outstanding against the run. They didn't spend that much to get him. In the middle of the defense, Denzel Perryman coming from the Texans too. And then in the secondary, Christian Fulton, who, again, like, they didn't even spend that much, but he's like one of the top corners right now. He's playing at an elite level, and he's deserving of a second contract. Like, he, you know, if we know about Christian Fulton, he's dealing with injuries with, like, the Titans, and, like, just didn't really, like, play to that, you know, that high draft capital. Like, yeah, he never played to that. And Minter is, like, putting them, like, in position to succeed. Like, if you watch, like, when you do get to watch the Chargers this upcoming week, like, just watch. I mean, Fulton, he was banged up. I think he should be fine. But, like, Puna Ford, like, in the middle of, like, the defensive line, like, it's going to be hard, I think, for the Cardinals to run the ball. Like, because Puna Ford's been a big piece. Like, he's, like, been really stout up front. Like, the big man, you know, short guy, like, he can just win at the line of scrimmage. And having, like, the Denzel Perrymans in the middle of the defense, like, when Perryman, like, just hits, like, you can feel it. Like, he's known as, like, that thumping type. But that's the whole defense, is that they rally to the football. When you're watching Brandon Staley run a defense, oh, man, you could run all over, like, that defense. Like, or just pass, like, just allowing explosive plays altogether. But, like, with Minter, like, his – complex coverages. Like, he's always switching it up on a week-to-week basis and putting, like Derwin James, like, his role switches, like, based on the actual opponent. So, like, with Staley, he was putting him in different roles during the game. Like, he's assigned, like, one role during that game, and he's, like, thrived, like, every single week. Like, Derwin James has been, you know, not an elite level, but he helps on the back end. Like, Alohi Gilman, just all the pieces that they have in place, and, like, they haven't been getting pressure. You know, like, Khalil Mack has been okay. Bosa's been hurt. But, like,
even do you think he's going to be back this week?
Joey?
Yeah.
I wouldn't count on it. Like, okay. Joey is just, yeah, he's always hurt, and I don't think that they really need him. Like, Bud Dupree has been, like, actually productive as well. Like, he had 2 sacks against the Chiefs a couple weeks ago, and then just all of these, like, low-cost guys that they brought in on that defense, they just fit really well with Jesse Minter's philosophy. You know, like, he's definitely made his mark already, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's getting interviews for a head coaching job at the end of the season, because he comes from that Ravens tree, that Mike McDonald tree. And again, as we know with the Ravens defense, when Mike McDonald was calling the plays, they were really good, and it's no difference with Jesse Minter kind of being like the next up.
Your kicker, Cameron Dicker, the kicker. How good has he been? I cannot believe that it took him so long to get like a full-time job.
Yeah. I mean, like, I didn't know what to expect when they brought him in, but he's, you know, obviously become one of the best kickers in the league.
Well, like, every stop that he had, every little short-term gig that he had, he was awesome.
Yeah.
I don't get why he didn't have a job to begin with, because good kickers, like consistent kickers, are hard to find.
Yeah.
They are. That's why the guys like Matt Prater stay in the league till they're 40. Right. Because like the kicker will be good for a year. Like Zane Gonzalez was that way. The guy, best kicker come out of college. He was wildly inconsistent in the pros. Then like there was 1 year for the Cardinals, he was absolutely just nails. And then the next year he was a mess. And he's been just kind of a dude, and he's been kicking around kicking around. But, like, he's been inconsistent. He's bouncing around the league like a guy. This is a guy that won the kicker award. I don't remember what the kicker award is in college anymore off the top of my head. But
Luke Gorza? Was it Luke Gorza?
Yeah, the Gorza award. Yes, he won that. Yeah. Yes, yes. But, yeah, it's – and to – it's good when a player like that, when Dicker gets a shot and finally gets a home and then goes with it, that's really good. He's going to have himself a nice career. What has been your take then of Jim Harbaugh overall? Has Jim Harbaugh had the effect and the impact that you anticipated?
Yeah, he has. And again, like, I'm not completely – I guess you can say, like, on the beat where I'm in LA every single day, so I can't, like, tell you what's going on in practices and just, like, seeing, like, oh, yeah, the Jim Harbaugh effect. But just, like, everything that I've heard from the actual beat reporters on the spot, like, it's a like, 9-day difference as far as, like, the whole culture shift, even early on. Like, with him, he's on the field, like, you've seen him. Like, pregame, he'll have, like, wide receiver gloves on, like, over there, like, taking, like, passes. Like, he's definitely
so weird. He's a
he's an odd guy, and if you listen to just any press conference, like, again, he talked about how he's like 2-0 with like the heart issue that he had. Like, yes. Most coaches would like just like talk about it and be like, yeah, like it was hard, like it was hard to go through or whatever, but I'm good. He's like, no, like I'm 2-0 with it, and going on and just like talking about it, he was like, I remember like in 2012 when it happened, Monday Night Football against the Bears, Colin Kaepernick was great. Like, giving like all this detail, like, you're like, what, man? Like, you're
don't ask bad. About injuries. Don't ask him about injuries.
Right.
I'm not qualified to put it like,
yeah,
but you are.
Working
but you
something.
Are. I guess what? You know what Andy Reid does? He tells everybody about, like, and then he'll bring in, like, if he can't explain it, he'll bring in the specialist to talk about it. Coaches, just tell us, do you think he's going to play? Do you hope he plays? Is there just a chance he's going to play? Just don't be like that. especially Jonathan Gannon does the same thing. Jonathan Gannon does the same thing over here because of the injuries that they had. Yeah, when we asked him about, is anyone to miss any time? Let's just, you know, bumps and bruisers. Then Bilal Nichols gets placed on IR and is done for the year. I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. You know, Matt Prater, the kicker, has missed the last 2 weeks with left knee soreness. Oh, he's going on an injured reserve, so he's out for the next month. I thought it was just left knee soreness. What are we doing? He's a 40-year-old kicker. Is he done?
Yeah.
Like, why? And they structure their media availability. So, like, he talks on Monday. They don't know anything on Monday.
Right.
And then he doesn't talk again until Wednesday before practice so that we don't know who's going to be out there or not. So dumb. So dumb. Why? Like, what? Who are you think you're fooling?
Right.
People just want to know stuff.
I know.
Yeah. All right. With that, coming up next on the Rise This Hero podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's talk about this game. Talk about the matchups, the keys. What are we going to be looking for on Monday night? That's coming up next on Rise This Hero. We're back on the Rise This Hero podcast, best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Talking with Gavino Borges from the Chargers Wire. Gavino, we're looking at this game. How do Chargers fans view this matchup with the Cardinals? Is this we've got a win coming, or like, is this a game that they are worried about at all?
As far as like the fan base overall, like, you know, coming off the win against the Broncos in Denver, like, that was a big deal to them. Had they lost and then they would have fell to under 500, it'd be different. They'd be like, oh, you know, like the world is ending. Like, the Chargers, they're not winning a game again. But now that they're like above 500, yeah, the fan base is like that on Twitter. They're so odd. But yeah, I think they're pretty optimistic because just from what I've seen on Twitter and just the fans that I've talked to, like, they're thinking the same thing. Like, okay, we show we can win on the road. A Cardinals team that's 2-4, like, they're not that great. Marvin Harrison Jr. is in concussion protocol. Like, they feel like it'll be an easy win. I haven't heard anything about like potential trap game at all. But the one thing, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about matchups is Kyler Murray. Like, just, I think they're worried about him a little bit, but overall they feel pretty optimistic and they feel like the Chargers will win this game.
Well, and I'll tell you this, that this game is the Chargers, just on paper, their strengths play right into the Cardinals' weaknesses.
Yeah.
Because they run the ball well and the Cardinals have shown no ability to stop the run. Like, the only game that they were good at stopping the run was week 2 against the Rams, and that was when the Rams had a third string left tackle in the game, and so they and the offense rolled, and so they basically took it out. So these have been their last 4 games of rushing yards allowed: 187, 216, 153, and 179. That and the fact that the Chargers are number 1 in points allowed against a Cardinals team that offense should be good. It should be talent-wise, but it has been wildly inconsistent. And outside of the first quarter, like, with the exception of last week, they punted on their first 4 possessions, and 3 of them were 3 and outs, and they were down 17-0 before you know it. You know, they're built so that they have to be able to run the ball. Drew Petzing, offensive coordinator, he's stubborn about it. Like, they don't do anything creative in the passing game to open things up. They are having Marvin Harrison do difficult things, and he's making mistakes. And it's the passing game is not a complex passing game. But if James Conner isn't running the ball effectively, that offense doesn't move at all. And the fact that I still want to call him San Diego. I don't know how long it'll take for me to not miss that. I've still slipped up and called the Washington team the Redskins. So San Diego Chargers, Washington Redskins, and I probably will say Oakland Raiders till the day I die. And though I will repeat, I remember when they were in L.A. I'm old enough that I remember the L.A. Raiders.
Yeah.
So, I'm old. So it's just this Chargers team, because they are so good defense, they don't give up points. The Cardinals don't stop the run. This could be a game where the Chargers offense kind of gets right, because they can just do exactly what Jim Harbaugh wants to do, is just run the ball and run the ball. But on the other hand, every time, so the Cardinals have now only been blown out three times since Jonathan Gannon took over. One was last year against the Rams. They got blown out by the Rams. They followed that up with the road win over the Steelers. They got blown out by the Commanders. They followed up with a win over the 49ers. Now they got blown out again by the Packers. They've been a team that bounces back really well. And this defense overall has been atrocious, but it's also been a defense that has completely shut out two of the best offenses in the NFL, Detroit's and San Francisco's, actually shut them out in the second half of both of those games. And so I'm like, they have moments, but they're either really good or they're atrocious. So I don't know what to think. So I'm guessing key-wise, if the Cardinals can be not terrible against the run, they'll have a chance. What is it? Can you tell me, what is it that's slowed? What has been the problem the second half of the Chargers in their scores, in scoring the football?
I think it's Roman. I think it's the the play calling. I don't think it's anything has to do with like the execution part, but like the play calling like just becomes like very predictable, very vanilla, and defensive like know like what to expect. It's not anything like you can't point fingers at Justin Herbert that he's not delivering. Like, I mean, like they're in third and long situations because teams are expecting the run, so you just like load the box and okay, third and eight, Herbert's throwing it. And yeah, you have a very bad wide receiver room. So
that is, you know, that's very Drew Petzing like. That's what we're saying, is that the Greg Roman, as good as he's been, he's still like Greg Roman comes from the 90s, early 2000s theory school of offense. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a great defense, that works.
Yep.
But doesn't it feel like you're wasting Justin Herbert?
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. Like, even just with the hiring of Greg Roman, I was always curious to see how it was going to mesh with Justin Herbert. And so far, like, it hasn't been like anything inspiring. Like, it'd be different if it was like a Ben Johnson, maybe, as like the head coach, because they'd let Justin Herbert air it out. But with Greg Roman, it made sense why Jim Harbaugh brought him in, because he knows him like throughout the year. So like the hiring, it didn't surprise me too much, but
So in terms of matchups, and let's go with the assumption that Harrison does play, what are some individual matchups that you are looking forward to?
Yeah, so Asante Samuel Jr., he's on the injured reserve. He got placed this past week. So if Christian Fulton is playing, I'm definitely curious to see how that matchup is, because he's been pretty locked down on the outside. So that's one matchup that I'm really looking forward to. and then it's just the let's say like the run defense versus like the Kyler Murray, because again, I'm curious to see like how they're going to be able to like contain him. You know, they haven't played that many mobile quarterbacks. Bo Nix rushed for 60 yards, I think, on six carries. So, you know, Kyler is going to want to run the ball. You know, I haven't watched him play this year, but just knowing him is that he's not afraid to do his thing. So it's like, okay, so how are we going to play against them? Like, who's going to be the quarterback spy? Like, you know, can we still keep the same level of defense against someone who's a lot more mobile, slippery as a runner, getting off the field and not allowing those types of plays to happen? So, yeah.
Khalil Mack, what side does he line up on typically? Does he line up against the left tackle or the right tackle more?
The left tackle.
Well, that'll be a fun one to watch then, Khalil Mack against Paris Johnson, because Paris Johnson's been fantastic. And well, Khalil Mack last year, oh my gosh, he was so good.
Yes.
He's, I mean, 2.5 sacks leads the team right now. Is it just that, I mean, he's 33 years old. Is he slowing down at all, or is it just a regular production as opposed to extraordinary production?
Yeah, it's just the production. Again, he's still winning. He's still like overpowering offensive tackles. So it doesn't seem like he's really slowed down like a ton. But overall, like the team, like just hasn't got as much pressure as we thought they would. But again, you know, with the back end of the defense, they're able to hold up. It hasn't really made that much of a big difference. So, yeah. But I mean, I know everyone's wondering about like why is Khalil Mack not have like, you know, five or more sacks by now. Exactly. It's just like, no, like he's still getting pressure. Like he's still getting that push. I talked about him earlier, Bud Dupree, like he's been a big part of that too, but it's also finishing plays too. Cause they had a couple of, would-be sacks and, you know, even Derwin James, like he, it could be a little bit cause he's playing, you know, a little bit softer maybe cause he doesn't want to get, fined and suspended by the league again, you know, cause he's known for like the head-to-head stuff, and that contact, but he should have had a sack. So there's been a lot of would-be like should have been sacks too. Cause they blitz a lot. And, especially from that slot position, they'll blitz. So
the Chargers have had takeaways in every single game. They've got 9 takeaways in 5 games. Is that how have been those? Have those been, are those takeaways or those turnovers from their opponents? Are they ones that are fluky? Are they the result of pressure to bad throws? Or are they ones that are forced, like the defense is doing it?
No, they're forced. And Elijah Molden, I think he has like 2 interceptions, if I'm not mistaken. And then they have a couple of forced fumbles too. Like they're taking the ball away. It's not like, you know, a tip pass, like up in the air. They're like getting to the football. So they're definitely earned.
And they're taking care of the football. Only 2 turnovers all season, and both happened in a game in which they won by 23. It was against the Panthers. So I guess, you know, whatever. Yeah. They completely blew them out. And what are they doing to protect the ball? Is it just because that they're running the ball so much? They're just running a very safe offense.
Yeah, I would say so. Part of that has to do with Justin Herbert not throwing the ball as much, but J.K. Dobbins is taking care of the football, or he's just getting these big carries where, you know, he doesn't need to secure the ball as much. So I guess that kind of attests to the rush offense success. But, yeah, there hasn't been, like, many opportunities where they're, like, a big pile of players and they're trying to punch the ball out. Like, it's just been pretty straightforward, and you know Dobbins' ball security has been really good, and Herbert just hasn't thrown the ball enough to be in a situation to get interceptions. So
okay, yeah. Coming on next on the Rise of Sierra podcast, but start Carlos talk on the one that let's move on to the predictions and picks part of our show. That's coming on next on Rise of Sierra. We're back on the Rise of Sierra podcast, but start Cardinals talk on the web, talking to Gavino Borges from the Chargers Wires, who manages that site over there, friend of the show. We were now onto the section of the show where we talk about our predictions for this game. How do you see this game playing out?
Yeah, so I think that the Chargers come out with a win. I think the Chargers are going to continue to do what they do and not give up a lot of points. They haven't given up more than 21 points in a single game. And given the question marks with Drew Petzing and Marvin Harrison going to be available and just all of that, I think, you know, they're going to have their way with that. And then, like we talked about earlier in the show, I think they're going to have a lot of success running the football. They're going to wear out the Cardinals too. And I see like this game going 24-14.
Okay.
I think they'll get a few touchdowns, Cameron Dicker field goal. And then I think the Cardinals will have opportunity for a couple touchdowns as well, but you know it's not going to be a very
maybe have a fourth quarter score in garbage
exactly
time.
Exactly, garbage time. Yeah, yep.
Okay, and you know, I could see it going that way. I'm going to trust that the Cardinals will show up and be the competitive version, but I still think, I mean, the matchup, I wouldn't be shocked if the Cardinals won. As good as the Chargers defense, it wouldn't surprise me, especially coming off the loss that they had. But is that something that I can predict? I absolutely cannot. But I think this is going to be a pretty ugly game. The Chargers like to play an ugly game. and the Cardinals can play ugly. Their play can be ugly, but I think it'll be pretty low scoring. And I'm looking at BetMGM. It's crazy. 79% of the handle has bets on the over, which is 43.5. And I think that's absolutely wild for Chargers football.
Yeah. I see this
game going 20 to 16, mainly because the Chargers control it and just sort of control the clock, and the Cardinals get some field goals, and that's about it. But I see the Cardinals losing. I see the Chargers covering, because with only a 2.5-point spread, that's almost with that. Anytime you go less than 3, I think you might as well bet the money line. Well, I think if you think the better team is going to win, you bet them to cover. Otherwise, just go with the money line for the plus odds. But right now, 92% of the handle has the Chargers winning, covering. 92% of the handle have the Chargers covering. Only 71% have them winning. It's very, very odd. And then 79% on the over, which is kind of wild. Sounds like we both expect to be pretty low scoring, or at least the Cardinals will be held to few points in that sense. How do you think it happens? What I like to do on this segment of the show is to look at some of the props that exist, and kind of talk of what do we have now. We don't have any, let's see, do we have game props? We don't have any player props yet. But if you had to say more or less than 1.5 touchdown passes for Justin Herbert,
I'm going to go less. I say that he gets one. And then I say that the other two, because I said 24, I say the other two are on the ground. I would not be surprised if J.K. Dobbins has a 2-touchdown performance. Yep.
Ooh. So, like, we do a lot of betting on here, but for fantasy, is this a start of J.K. Dobbins week, apparently?
Yeah.
I would say yes. Most certainly, start J.K. Dobbins. He's playing against the Cardinals, and the Cardinals don't stop anybody except Kyron Williams this year. He's the only one they've stopped. He's the only one they've stopped. And that is it. How do you see? So do you think that the Chargers will turn the ball over? They only have one game with turnovers. Will they turn one over to this weekend?
No, I don't see it happening this week.
How many turnovers will the Cardinals have?
I think they'll have 2. So I see Kyler throwing interception. I would not be surprised if it's one of the safeties, Derwin, Loic Yeoman, or Elijah Molden. One of those will get a pick. He'll throw a prayer ball somehow. You know, if Marvin Harrison's playing, he's down there somewhere. I don't know what's that saying. Marvin Harrison's down there somewhere that they came up with. And then, of course, fumble too. Like, they've really done a good job of, like, punching, like, the football out too. And, I wouldn't be surprised if they forced a fumble on James Conner. So I want to say 2.
Okay, 2 turnovers. How many touchdown passes do you think that Kyler will have? Or do you think he will, like, since you're saying 14 points, do you think it will be 2 passing touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns, or 1 of each?
No, so I say Kyler throws 1, and then James Conner will be from, like, the 1 or 2, and he'll get into the end zone.
Okay. Are you saying that J.K. Dobbins is probably your player of the game if you had to pick one for now?
Yeah. J.K. Dobbins was shy of 100 yards this past weekend. I think he goes over that. He's due, especially against a bad Cardinals run defense. I would say my eyes are on Dobbins this game.
Okay. Awesome. And with that, that sounds good. That's some good stuff, Covino. With that, we will wrap up this edition of the Rise Up Seward podcast. If it's our Cardinals talk on the web, go to Chargers Wire. Like, go to Cards Wire, of course. Go to Cards Wire, read Cards Wire. And go to Chargers Wire, read the stuff that he's got over there, because it's great stuff. Covino, can my listeners follow you on the Twitter machine?
Yep. So my name is just how it is, Covino Borquez. No dashes, nothing like that. So just as it as it reads.
Okay, perfect. Gavino, thank you so much for your time. That wraps up this edition of the show. This is episode 603, I think. Wow. I think I said at the beginning. Yeah, it's been over 11 years I've been doing this show. So it's been wild. So thank you, Gavino, for your time. That'll wrap up this edition of the show. We've got one more show this week coming up that you will – well, this is recording on a Wednesday night, so you hear it'll drop it on Thursday. Seth and I will be giving our preview, and that will drop on Friday. So we've got two shows down this week, one left to go before we see the Cardinals and Chargers play on Monday night. We'll be back again soon. Thanks for listening, as always.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Sea Red. Whoa!